We have located the Frivolous Friday music, and at the top of the next hour, it will be played so that it is authentically Frivolous Friday. This is David. David, welcome to WBHP. How are you, sir?
Hey, honey. Well, you know, I'm glad I didn't get locked into too much frivolity. I wanted to ask you, you remember I called you earlier in the week, and
yes.
I was asking about that big TVA spill up near Knoxville?
Yes.
And, yeah, I wasn't able to call a couple of days ago, so you said you were going to try to check up on things. I was trying to get an update from you.
I have not talked to anybody who personally has been affected by this. I know that they're talking about weeks. Rather, and this is the company that's going to do the cleanup, that has cleaned up lots of spills like this in the past. They're quite qualified, and they're talking about weeks rather than months or years to clean this thing up. I know that it has caused some damage. My comment when you couldn't call the other day was, this is the stuff that's leaking is coal. This wouldn't be happening if we had more nuclear power. That was just my thought.
Hey, you know, I heard once that TVA... If I remember right, TVA was the one that made most of the plutonium rods and the nuclear, you know, they refine it and refine it and refine it and make that pure plutonium in order to make both the nuclear power plants and the warheads. And so they were making it up there, and they were saying that in the history of when they started to this day, they used so much electricity to purify that stuff, they've never produced enough electricity out of a nuclear power plant to equal the amount that they used to make it in the first place.
Hey, hold on one second, David. Nate, let me ask you a question. How is it possible for me to link Mike in to this call?
I can do that.
Okay, go ahead and link Mike in. What I'm doing, David, Mike is a regular listener, and he knows more about this stuff than I do, to make a long story short.
All right, hey, Mike.
Hey, good morning.
Help me out here, Mike.
Well, I've never heard those stats that he just quoted. I do not see how that can be feasibly possible.
I've always heard that nuclear power plants produce 2 to 3 million times as much electricity as a coal-burning plant.
They do, depending on how many reactors they got running at the same time. We normally have two running here full-time.
Right,
we try to keep
but
three.
It had to do with purifying it in the first place so that they could do 2 to 3 million times. It also has to do with, I don't know if you ever heard this stat, but say, like, if you got a strawberry sitting on a grocery store shelf, it takes, I think, 250, and that strawberry has got 5 calories in it. Well, it takes 250 calories to get it to the store shelves. So, in other words, they have to put it, you know, they got to pick it up in the fields using tractors. They got to then have some cardboard boxes to make it, so it got to have a certain amount of calories to make those cardboard boxes. Then you got to put them in the truck to deliver it to the grocery store. It's got to be refrigerated on the way. It'll take 250 calories to make to put a 5-calorie strawberry on your shelf.
Wow. So, I wish I made strawberries. Maybe I'd lose weight.
Well,
you see what I'm saying. So in order to make a nuclear power plant, they use so much energy that they still have never equaled the amount of energy that it took to create both the plants and purify that plutonium in the first place. So now, you know, in the case of this spill, you know, this is not a nuclear spill, but this is mercury, it's cadmium, lead, and arsenic.
Potash.
These are all heavy metals, so essentially the Tennessee River is not going to be able to eat catfish for the next 50 years if they don't get this stopped, like, instantly.
What's your take on that, Mike?
Well, first off, I don't know anybody that eats catfish out of the river anymore, period, way before this ever occurred. Catfish was a clean source of food, and it still is, but you don't get it from the river.
What was your point the other day, Mike, about catfish? Was it catfish eating oil?
Oh, it was fish, just some fish, some ocean fish. I seen it on the Learning Channel where they were doing a documentary on some island, and there was a crew just bubbling up out of the shoreline, I guess you could say, but it was in the water, of course. It wasn't up on the top. These fish would wait for these little droplets of oil to bubble out, and they would jump out and eat them.
That was on the Learning Channel, David.
Yes.
What do you think about that?
Well, I mean,
I didn't see the show, but
the whole thing about fish is they're dumb and they'll eat anything, and then you put a hook behind it. Yeah, I mean, if you could put a hook behind oil, maybe they'd, you know, land on your hook. But that's not to say that it's a smart idea to eat a catfish that had that was eating oil. And you know, the whole point is that I was actually checking up on it yesterday with the EPA and also the state EPA up in Tennessee, not Alabama, and they haven't declared it as a disaster yet. Mm-hmm. This thing is 100 times bigger than the Exxon Valdez. That was only 10 million gallons. This is a billion gallons.
But they're saying it's only going to take months, again, to clean it up.
Well, there's several different factors here. Some of those things will biodegrade themselves. And you got to remember, there's potash in there, which is very good for making things grow.
Interesting.
Yeah, there's lead in there.
By the way, David, by the way, Mike is a regular caller who just happened to call in. He's not really a partisan on this at all. He's just a thinker on this subject. So,
okay, well, that's fine. I'm just looking at it. I'm looking at it from the viewpoint.
It's a free lunch.
Okay, I'm looking at it.
As far as enriching uranium, I'm not real familiar with that, but I do know this. We here in this area have several dams, okay? We produce electricity for a big part of the country, where California does pretty much nothing.
That is a fair point. I hadn't thought about that.
Oh, we got dams out here. We got
But what else do you have that you have just condemned, and then you wanted, like last summer, you wanted to buy power from us and use our materials at our sacrifice and at our cost, and you had the means to do it there, and you wouldn't do it.
Well, that's not true, because you can't push electricity from Tennessee to here.
You shut down your nuclear plants, you shut down your solar power,
you can't push Tennessee electricity over to California. You can't push it but 50 miles before it degrades.
Man, I'm glad you called in, Mike, when you did.
You can transfer this stuff. All you got to do is run it through transformers.
No, because the heat, you know, at 50 miles, the copper wires will heat it up to such a degree that you're going to lose like 70% after 50 miles.
Why was California wanting to buy electricity from us?
Because it's a hoax. I mean, you know, these companies are claiming.
California does nothing to produce its own power that it can't sustain.
Oh, sure we do. We got more than enough electricity. It was a hoax to begin with Enron, and they
have more than enough electricity.
Yes, we do. We got more than enough electricity.
You done had several blackouts. You can't produce enough to keep
going. And that you didn't keep up with Enron? That every attorney general that sued over that found out that they had intentionally allowed they sold their spare parts. Then they knew that they were going to cheat California. They sold their spare parts, so they had no spare parts in standby. Then they had a simple breakdown.
Themselves out of this stuff.
Beg pardon?
California voted to cheat themselves out of
yeah, that was 5 years earlier, right? And they didn't realize what they were getting cheated on, and Ralph Nader came in here. I was actually active in that. That was 1997.
Well, are you not still doing it today?
What, deregulation?
How many means of producing power do you have shut down in your state right now?
How many what?
Means of making electrical power.
How many do we have shut down?
Well, that's have shut down and will not allow.
That's kind of an interesting story, because there are a whole bunch of different companies, and they're all running in different kinds of cheating operations. In other words, they have a lot of wind power that
it all come down to cheating. None of this is the people voting to not have the power produced.
Right, it's the power company cheating us. And the power company gets grants from the government, and at the same time, it cheats the government. But back to my original statement about power that wasn't being produced in California, if you look at the various lawsuits that went against Enron and the various companies, there was actually one company that... Are you going to let me talk? There was one company that bulldozed...
May I talk real quick, for one sec? I do know this. During the 1990s, the demand for electricity in California surged roughly 30%. The supply increased only 6%. And on the deregulation front, not the entire electrical market was deregulated, just the wholesale market. So just the retail market. The wholesalers had to sell electricity at cost, which was quite high because of a lack of supply. Although the retailers were limited in what they could charge their customers.
Well, there's so many different scams involved in that. First of all, there were a lot of major corporations that bought in bulk. They knew that deregulation was going to cheat the state, so they bought in bulk like years in advance. They said, I need 5 million watts for next year. And so they were able to buy it at a nickel a watt when everybody, when the retail price was like 8 cents a watt or a kilowatt. And so they were able to buy in bulk in advance. And then when Enron started charging $1,500, instead of 8 cents, they went up to $1,500 a kilowatt. Then they were able to claim with their accountants that they were losing money.
Why did Bill Clinton like Enron so much, by the way?
Well, it was Enron was the single biggest contributor to the Bush family.
Hold on just 1 second. Ken Lay was the CEO of Enron.
Right.
Didn't he die?
Yeah, very mysteriously before he was going to testify. Yeah.
Bill Clinton put him. Now, don't start sounding like Oliver Stone, David.
Hey, well, truth is truth. He was supposed to testify, and then he actually shopped around for a coroner before he died. So instead of having a coroner in the county that he died in,
I wouldn't have done the same thing in his position. But Bill Clinton put him on the Council for Sustainable Growth. Bill Clinton enabled him. And then when Enron went under, Bill Clinton's Treasury Secretary called Bush, Robert Rubin, and said, "Will you bail him out?" And Bush said, "Nope." So Enron was a Clinton problem. Now I am being partisan.
That's not entirely true. Enron was handing out money to everybody, but in terms of George Bush, the one that's in right now, Ken Lay was the single largest contributor to Bush up to the days of Enron.
I have to go to a break, David, but this has been a lively discussion.
No trouble. I'm just trying to find out about how, you know, this lead, this cadmium, this arsenic that's ended up in the water. So, you know, we've got sidetracked on this, and I want to come back to this issue. You know, they have not declared it a disaster area yet.
Okay.
And this is 100 times bigger than Katrina.
Yes.
Or excuse me, not Katrina. 100 times bigger than the Exxon bed.
I understand. I don't mean to cut you off, but I...
All right. Have a good week. I'll try
to
call next week.
All right, David. Thanks for calling. Thanks for listening. Mike, thanks for rescuing me. This is 800-1230-WBHP.
Stream The Will Anderson Show live at WBHPAM.com.
Welcome back to Crossfire, folks. Just kidding. This is the Will Anderson Program. Happy Friday. It's Frivolous Friday, where we loosen the tie, let callers debate one another. That was fascinating. We're going to get back to Mike in a minute, because that's not what he called in to do. He just happened to be there. First, this is Brian. Hello, Brian, and happy Friday, sir.
Greetings. And as far as the nuclear rods and everything using more electricity, as far as both the fuel rods and the dampening rods, for that matter of fact, during the early days of nuclear power, as we were first putting these all our nuclear power plants up, that was true because the tooling hadn't been done. The proper tools had not been made to make those things into specification, because if they weren't perfect, then your pile would heat up too much, or the dampening rods would not take enough away to keep it at the proper temperature.
Hmm.
It was true, but after several years, the tooling was done. They had the tooling available to where, in the long run, it creates a lot more energy than it ever took away to begin with.
So interesting.
It's true as far as being current. It's urban legend.
Yes.
And I'm going to ask the French. The one thing that they've done better than us in all this time is put so much of their stuff on nuclear power.
80% of their electricity comes from nuclear.
And that's embarrassing, having the French do something better than us.
Only 20% of ours does.
Yep. That's
the one time the left has to hate France. You're right about that.
I said, have a good one.
Oh, you too. Have a great weekend, my friend. And back to Mike we go. Hello, Mike.
Hey, good morning again.
You did a very good job of defending me.
Well, thank you. And thank you, Brian. I'm not that familiar with uranium enriching.
Yeah, that was interesting, wasn't it?
Yes. I knew there had been some great strides made, but I wasn't sure. But again, the question goes out to California, and the country should be doing this. How many means of power resources do you have that you have shut down for eco-nut reasons?
Oh, that's an excellent question.
Billions and billions. But what I was going to get to is